84 WHAS presents The Last Christmas, an original radio drama written by David Holland, starring Milton Metz, Wayne Perkey, Terry Miners, Jane Norris, Joe Elliott, Joe Donovan, Brian Rublin, and Mary Jeffries, with a special appearance by Rush Limbaugh. Brought to you by Super America. Here now are Super America store managers Mark Traub and Dan Applegate.
Hello, and welcome to unique and exciting holiday tradition. It's the annual 84 WHAS Holiday Radio Drama Program. This year, an original radio play written especially for this event by David Holland, featuring the staff of 84 WHAS as themselves, roles they all know by heart.
Super America is excited to bring you this program with a grant to underwrite the cost of production and distribution at Kentuckiana Super America locations. Because of this, every penny collected from the sale of this limited edition collector's cassette will go directly to the WHAS Crusade for Children. So now, sit back, relax, and join us for The Last Christmas, brought to you by Super America. We never stop. Here now is your narrator and host, Milton Metz.
Hello, Metz here. You know, it's quite a few years now that I've been introducing myself that way on the big boombox. That's what we call ourselves. It's really incredible to think that, at times, my voice has reached from one coast of this country to another, across the ocean into Europe, even as far north as, well, as the North Pole. Oh, didn't you know that one Christmas a few years ago, 84 WHAS actually was heard at the North Pole? Well, it's a story that certainly bears repeating. It all began innocently enough just a week before Christmas with a news story that came in on the wire. I think Mary Jeffries or Brian Rublin was in the office that day.
Hey, Brian, did you see this?
What have you got there, Mary?
This story just came in. It says Santa Claus is going to retire.
Retire?
Yeah, it says the jolly old elf is calling it quits after all these years.
You're joking. Let me see that. World-renowned toy manufacturer Santa Claus has announced that he will no longer be delivering presents to the children of the world. Claus cites long hours, growing labor difficulties, and an increase in the cost of reindeer feed as the reasons for his decision.
I wonder what he means by labor difficulties.
Mary, why don't you see if you can reach the North Pole on the phone? Something tells me there's a lot more to this story.
Well, it didn't take long for word to get around about Santa's decision. And let me tell you, not many people were happy about it. Rick Belcher, our program director, called the entire staff into his office for an emergency meeting.
Okay, everybody, listen up. We've been in touch with the North Pole all morning.
Has anybody talked to Santa personally?
No, so far we haven't been able to get past the elves. They keep on giving us Santa's voicemail.
Hey, turn up that radio. Mary's coming on with a story.
This is Mary Jeffries with a special report from the 84 WHAS newsroom. After more than a dozen centuries delivering toys and gifts to all the children of the world, Santa Claus announced his retirement today, just 1 week before Christmas. Reaction is just beginning to filter in, and world leaders are expressing shock and dismay at this unprecedented decision. The North Pole itself is in a state of turmoil, as hundreds of elves face immediate layoff, according to Chief Elf Tom Goodfellow.
Things are a little hectic up here right now. I don't think any of us saw this one coming. It's a real shock, especially when you think how open Santa's always been with us. Now, I guess after the dust is settled, we'll all have to look for new jobs.
Santa's official letter of retirement was addressed to the children of the world and alluded to labor difficulties. But as Elf Steve Oddbody points out, the difficulties have nothing to do with the employees currently working at the North Pole.
No, I think I can safely say that every elf up here loves his job. The only problem I can see lately is that there's a real shortage of elves to do the work. These days, an elf can make better money working for Ernie Keebler than he can making toys. That's meant longer hours for all of us, but we're happy to put in the overtime. Personally, I think the whole labor thing is just an excuse. Something else is bothering Santa, but I'm not sure what it is.
Once again, our top story, Santa Claus has officially announced his retirement effective immediately. We'll keep you informed on developments in this story as they occur. This is Mary Jeffries from the 84 WHAS newsroom.
Okay, there it is in a nutshell. What does everyone think?
Well, that about does it for Christmas. You can pack up the tree, pour the eggnog down the sink, Just won't be the same without the big guy.
No, let's not panic. Christmas is still Christmas. Nothing can change that.
Well, that's true, Rick, but I think Kirby has a good point. Without Santa here to make the season, well, extra special, without him flying around the world just trying to make everybody a little bit happier, I'm afraid Christmas just won't be the same.
Yeah, well, I guess you're right, Wayne. If we could just figure out why Santa wants to retire all of a sudden. Well, our first job is to find out what our listeners are saying. Jane, I'll need you to devote your entire show today to the Santa issue.
Well, we're scheduled to have the president on in the first hour and the Pope on in the second.
Think you can reschedule them for next week?
It shouldn't be a problem. The story is just too big to ignore right now.
As you can guess, by the time Jane Norris went on the air that morning, Santa Claus was the only topic people were talking about.
Hi, this is Jane Norris, and we have Laura on the line. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Jane. I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, it's nice to hear from you. What's your opinion about Santa's retirement?
I think it's just terrible.
What do you suppose is on his mind? Do you think he's tired of making the big run every year?
Well, all I know is one Christmas, right when the original Barbie came out, I just had to have one, and I told Santa about it, and that's exactly what I got. I will always remember how nice he was to get that for me.
That's a great story. You might not have that Barbie anymore, but I'll bet you still have a wonderful memory of a great Christmas.
Oh, I still have the Barbie. I never took her out of the box. Now she's a key asset in my 401k.
Wow, good thinking.
I may have only been 8 years old, but I knew a great investment when I saw one.
I'll bet you did. Okay, our next caller is Ron. Ron, what's your view on the Santa announcement?
Well, Jane, I think this is a clear-cut case of an international conspiracy.
A conspiracy involving Santa Claus?
Oh, I think Santa is perfectly innocent. No, the real villains here are the Flat Earthers.
The Flat Earthers?
Yeah, the Flat Earth Society. See, they believe that the Earth is really flat, and the whole Columbus thing was a hoax to try to convince everyone that it's round.
So what we have here is a conspiracy based on a conspiracy?
Pretty cunning, huh? Anyway, I figure the Flat Earthers feel that Santa's yearly round-the-world trip damages their cause, so they're blackmailing him into retirement.
Yep, everybody had some theory or other about Santa. And of course, it wasn't just in Louisville. All over the country, Santa was the hottest news since, well, since Christmas itself.
This is a special edition of the Rush Limbaugh Program, America, the way it ought to be. And now, from our studios in New York City, here is Rush Limbaugh.
What is going on at the North Pole? I mean, you'll have to forgive me for this, but are they crazy up there? If ever there was a public figure more loved, more cherished, more respected than St. Nick, well, look, I can tell you, I've seen a lot of people step in and out of the spotlight, but nobody has more staying power than Santa. And I'm talking completely nonpartisan support here. I mean, even the Democrats can't flub this one. Everybody loves Santa. So what is this news that he's retiring? I mean, I just don't get it. I've looked at this thing from every angle, from the economic end, from the political end, and there's only one conclusion I can come up with. Big guy, if you're listening to me, and I think you are because everybody does, you're making a huge mistake.
Did Santa hear what we all were saying? There just wasn't any way to know. After the shock of the initial announcement, no word came out of the North Pole. Nobody could figure a way out of the mess, although it wasn't for lack of trying.
Come on, Buzz. It's the perfect solution.
Oh, Miners, if my mother hears about this, she'll ground me from now till next Christmas.
Oh, snip those apron strings, Buzz. It's time for you to become your own man.
But how can I be my own man when I'm dressed up like a reindeer?
You're a boy reindeer. We can call you Schmitzen or Randolph or something. And with this fake beard and this red suit, I can be the next Santa Claus.
But, Terry, isn't there something, you know, sacrilegious about passing yourself off as Santa?
Hey, Buzz, I don't want Santa to retire any more than you do. Once he sees how stupid we both look, he's bound to call off the whole thing. I mean, how would you feel if some geek was trying to take your job? Well, hold on. Being a geek is your job.
Miners!
Come on, Buzz. Let's go work out the details over lunch. If we're going to make this happen, I gotta put on some weight. Fast!
Now, don't worry. Terry's idea never got off the ground. Probably because Randolph the reindeer could never get off the ground. But at least he was trying to come up with a solution. And he wasn't the only one who came up with the same solution.
We've got to be able to think of a way to keep Santa in the game, guys. We're in sports, right? And sports heroes are always coming out of retirement.
I don't know, Van. It just doesn't seem like the same thing to me.
No, Van has a point.
Right, Tony. Now, what was it that brought Michael Jordan back to basketball?
The off-speed breaking ball?
The fastball? High and inside?
No, it was watching a bunch of guys trying to be the next Michael Jordan. He couldn't stand to sit back and see other people fighting for his crown.
So, where does that leave us with Santa?
I'm glad you asked, Tony. Here, try on this fake beard.
Oh, no. No way.
Come on, Tony. It's for a good cause. You owe it to Santa to try to fill his shoes.
I'm glad you feel that way, Paul, because these pointy little elf slippers are just your size.
Get those things away from my feet.
Come on, Paul. It's for a good cause.
Yep, everybody thought that if somebody else was threatening to take Santa's place, his pride would get to him and he'd call off his retirement, which is why Rick Belcher called another meeting.
Okay, I called you all together, so I only had to say this once. Everybody stop wearing those silly fake beards. Y'all look stupid.
Oh, Rick, come on,
take them off. You too, Jane, and Paul, put your own shoes back on. Now look, I know y'all mean well, but this isn't getting us anywhere. Christmas is only a few days away, and if we don't come up with a solution, this will be Santa's last Christmas ever. But don't worry, I have an idea. And I think it might work. I've asked Ken Schultz to give us a quick rundown on the weather conditions at the North Pole. Ken?
Temperatures are well below the freezing mark, and they promise to stay that way for, well, forever, actually. There's snow falling at the pole right now, with accumulations expected to be, at least a foot, perhaps more. So for the remainder of the day, you can expect it to be cold.
What about tomorrow?
Cold.
5-day outlook?
Cold, 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 and I've got it right here. Cold.
Long range?
Cold.
3-month forecast.
Looks like a break in the cold, then it will become frigid, followed by more cold. I'm Storm Team Meteorologist Ken Schultz.
Well, that paints a pretty graphic picture of life at the North Pole. It seems to me Santa doesn't want to retire. He just wants to get warm. So we're proposing a package of incentives to get Santa Claus to move his entire toy-making operation right here to Louisville.
Really? You think we can do it?
Hey, it worked for the Presbyterians.
Here, I've got Mayor Abramson on the speakerphone to fill us in on some of the details. Mr. Mayor?
Thanks, Rick. I'm just delighted that we can offer the full resources of a great community like Louisville in such a tremendous cause. Now, naturally, there'll be a full package of economic incentives, tax breaks, some rezoning, but the real heart of the offer is a joint effort with UPS. You see, from the UPS hub here in Louisville, Santa can deliver his toys more efficiently and cost-effectively, and that's bound to reduce his overhead dramatically. The savings in reindeer feed alone should more than recoup the cost of relocating in this first year.
It was a noble effort on the mayor's part, and I understand that it actually received some interest from the Easter Bunny. But word from the North Pole came back pretty quickly. Santa liked things where he was. He'd gotten used to the cold, it helped keep his allergies in check, and he had no intentions of moving, even after he retired. So we were all right back where we had started. Only now, the full impact of Santa's retirement really started to take effect.
Welcome to Ask Fred. I believe our first caller is Scott with a question about evergreen trees in his yard. Scott?
Yeah, hi, Fred. I've got these gorgeous 30-foot-tall blue spruce trees in my yard that I decorate for Christmas every year.
Hey, that really sounds like a beautiful display.
Well, not anymore, they won't. I just don't have the heart to string all those lights up if Santa isn't going to get a chance to see them.
Well, I see your point, but what's the question?
Well, tell me, would it hurt my trees too bad if I dyed them all like great big 30-foot-tall Easter eggs next year?
I really can't recommend dyeing your trees, Scott. Maybe you could put some enormous white sheets over them for Halloween. That would help.
Oh, I don't know, but I'll try it.
Okay, it's time for the news, and when we come back, how to convert those old Christmas wreaths into a special Arbor Day display.
This is Kentuckiana's News, Weather and Traffic Station.
84 WHAS, Louisville.
News on the hour.
This is Paul Miles in the 84 WHAS newsroom. At this hour, there's still no progress in efforts to soften the global impact of Santa Claus's retirement. At an international summit in Santa Claus, Indiana, world leaders are planning an airdrop of toys to every nation in the world. But it's feared their efforts might be too little, too late.
It seemed that wherever you turn, day or night, All anybody could think about was Santa.
Welcome back to the Overnight Show with Joe Donovan. We've devoted our entire evening to your requests, and I have to say, in all my years of playing these classic hits, I've never had an evening like this. Let's see what else you want to hear. Hi, you're talking to Joe Donovan.
Joe, I've got to hear it again, Joe!
Again? Now, I understand what this song means to everybody right now, but isn't there something else you'd like to hear?
No, Joe. It's the only thing right now that helps me forget. I've been listening to you play it all night long, and I just have to hear it one more time. Play it again, Joe!
All right. You folks out there are the ones calling the shots tonight. I'm just playing the records, or in this case, the Ronettes. Now for the 20th time tonight, here comes Santa Claus.
Nothing seemed to help. No one could think of a way to get Santa back on the job. And in the meantime, everything just seemed to go from bad to worse.
This is Rod Robertson from Skywatch 84, and with only a few more shopping days left before Christmas, I have to tell you, all the parking lots look deserted. Nobody is out today. Traffic is flowing smoothly on Shelbyville Road and at the Outer Loop. Spaghetti Junction is clean as a whistle. There just isn't any shopping activity going on, as far as I can tell.
Things were bleak indeed. Then one night on the Joe Elliott Show, a call came into the studio that provided the first gleam of hope. The topic for the evening was, well, you can probably guess.
No, Ron, I really don't think there's a conspiracy at work here with the Flat Earth Society. I don't think the Flat Earthers would have the nerve or the resources to blackmail Santa into giving up his round-the-world flight every year, although I do appreciate your call. All right, next caller is Mary Kate. Hello, you're on the Joe Elliott Show.
Hello, Mr. Elliott.
Hi, Mary Kate. How old are you, honey?
I'm 8 and a half, Mr. Elliott, and I'm in the third grade.
All right, we haven't heard much from children this evening. Tell me, what do you think is bothering Santa, and why would he want to retire after all these years?
Well, I was talking with my mom and dad, and they were telling me about all the neat toys and stuff they always got from Santa. And I was thinking about the Power Rangers I got last year and the Little Mermaid I got when I was 5.
Yeah, I think we can all remember special gifts that Santa gave us. You know, when I was about your age, I got my first multi-band transistor radio. I still have batteries in it and still keep it at home today and still pull it out occasionally when I'm feeling kind of down.
Well, that's what I was thinking about Santa, Mr. Elliott.
What's that, honey?
I'm thinking maybe after all these years, it's time we gave Santa a Christmas present.
Don't we always leave out milk and cookies for him and maybe some carrots for the reindeer?
Sure, but milk and cookies aren't really like a Christmas present, are they? I mean, maybe if this year we all put something nice under the tree for Santa with pretty Christmas paper around it and a ribbon and a bow, and tell him how much we miss him, maybe he'll feel better and want to come visit us again.
Well, that's certainly something for all of us to think about. Yeah, Mary Kate, you've come up with a really pretty interesting idea there.
So interesting, in fact, that Joe couldn't get it out of his mind. And when he came into work the next day...
Rick.
Yeah, Joe. Hey, good show last night.
Thanks. Listen, did you hear the little girl talk about Santa?
Sure, it sounded great. You know, I think that's the kind of stuff I'm going to miss most about Christmas without Santa.
Well, I've been up all night thinking about what she said, leaving gifts for Santa under the tree. Now, hear me out. I got an idea.
And what an idea it was. Joe told Rick, and Rick immediately got the whole staff together one more time and let them in on it.
So we get everybody in the world to leave presents for Santa Claus under their trees?
You got it. Everybody. Make it a real global celebration of Santa Claus and everything he stands for. The giving, the sharing, all those things that Christmas is about and that Santa brings to our homes every year. Our only problem is that there are only 2 more days until Christmas. Tomorrow's Christmas Eve. How are we going to get a message out across the entire world in just one night?
Ooh, I know.
Yes, Terry?
We have Van call all of his ex-girlfriends. That should cover most of the seaports around the world.
Well, actually, I was thinking of something a little more in the spirit of the season.
Hey, the answer's all around us.
What do you mean?
Well, we're sitting on top of this big 50,000-watt blowtorch. We could cover most of North America with our signal. I bet we could even be heard at the North Pole. And once we start, the word will spread from station to station across the rest of the world.
Well, that might work. Come on, everybody. We've got a broadcast to do.
Oh, Ted, I feel just like Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland putting on a show in the old barn.
Great, Buzz. Next thing you know, you'll be dressed up in a tuxedo leading everybody in a conga line.
Well, thank goodness Buzz never got that carried away. But plans for the broadcast had everybody excited. It was quite a task, putting on such an ambitious production on such short notice. And because there wasn't any time to waste, the show had to go on live.
Okay, everybody in place? Do we have scripts for everyone? All right, we're on in 10 seconds. We only got one shot at this. Let's make it work. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We're on the air.
Mets here. Santa, are you there? We have a very special message for you. It's for everyone listening, too. Everyone who cares about you and doesn't want to see you stop bringing so much joy into the world.
Santa Claus, on behalf of everyone who ever ran down the stairs on Christmas morning to see all the wonderful toys you'd left, from everyone who ever sat on your lap and reeled off a list of Christmas wishes a mile long and a yard wide, from all the people of the world who cherish the gift you give every year, the joyous gift of giving, I'd like to say, we're sorry. In all the fun and excitement of the season, we've forgotten to say thank you. We've forgotten that even a jolly old elf like you needs to hear that you're appreciated. And more than that, we've forgotten that in all the splendor of a gift-filled Christmas, you're the only one who doesn't get anything. So all of us at 84WHAS are asking everyone who can hear my voice to leave something under the tree for Santa this Christmas. Doesn't have to be much. Maybe just a card or a note. Maybe just a simple present that you can make with your own hands. But whatever it is you put under the tree, wrap it with love and tie it up with thanks. And I'm sure Santa will have the best Christmas he's had in a long, long time. Santa Claus, we're sorry. And we really do love you.
We love you, Santa. Please don't leave us.
Nobody brings as much happiness to our lives as you do, Santa. Don't retire. We all need you.
Hey, Santa, we need you more than you know. Please, please don't pack it in.
That's right, Santa. Winter would be mighty cold without you.
Well, it was a long, tiring day for everyone, but we all gave it the best we had. Soon, word of our efforts spread across the country. Our broadcast reached the United Kingdom, France, and Holland, along with most of Canada and Mexico. From there, stations around the world passed along the idea. Leave a gift for Santa. Let him know how much we care. It was truly a global effort. But was it enough? Had he heard? We couldn't be sure. Santa had already closed all the administrative offices at the North Pole, and nobody was manning the phones. Or maybe I should say, nobody was elving the phones. So we all went to sleep that night wondering, did it work? Did we reach him? The next morning, Christmas Eve, Brian Rublin was in the newsroom with Shelley Catherine when a message came in over the wire service.
Brian.
Yeah, what is it, Shelley?
We've got a story coming in from the North Pole.
Quick, what is it? What does it say?
Just two words. I'm back.
Yes, it was true. Santa had heard our broadcast, and he'd heard the news as it went around the world. Presents for Santa. And with that show of affection from all the people of the world, Santa realized that he couldn't retire. He discovered the truth that anyone could have told him, but nobody had thought to mention in all these years that we all still love him in everything he stands for. Well, needless to say, the next day there was a mad rush to get gifts for Santa.
The streets below are all crowded with drivers and last-minute shoppers, but the traffic does seem to be flowing fairly smoothly. It seems that the whole city is running to the stores, but strangely enough, there aren't any accidents to report. Guess everyone's just driving real friendly today.
Yes, everyone had a present for Santa that year. And to this day, I'm not sure how he fit them all in his sleigh when he went on his annual journey around the world. But that wasn't the end of the story, because in order to show his appreciation for all that was done for him, he stopped by on the morning after Christmas to say thanks for everything.
Santa,
Santa, I can't tell you how thrilled I am to have you here in the studio.
Wayne, you have no idea how delighted I am. After all those years, I confess, I thought everyone had just stopped caring, and I think, just for a moment, I didn't see the point in it all anymore.
You shouldn't ever think that, Santa.
I see it now. Sometimes we might not always hear the things we want to hear from our friends and loved ones, but that doesn't mean they don't feel them.
That's true, Santa.
And I have to admit, maybe I should have let everyone know how I felt before I took such a drastic step.
Well, Santa, if you ever have anything you want to say to the world, you know my microphone is always open.
Well, thank you, Wayne. Now, if you'll excuse me, the reindeer are on the roof, and I promised the missus I'd be home before lunch.
One more question, Santa.
Yes?
I've always wondered, how do you manage to get down all those chimneys?
Well, that's a little trade secret, Wayne, but I'll tell you this.
Yes, Santa?
It's a lot easier than getting up all those chimneys.
And that's the story of how 84 WHAS was heard one Christmas at the North Pole. Santa's never threatened to quit again. And every Christmas, he continues to share his gift with all of us. This is Milton Metz. And on behalf of everyone here at the 84 WHAS family, I want to wish you a very happy holiday season.
You've been listening to The Last Christmas, an original radio drama written especially for 84 WHAS by David Holland, brought to you by Super America. As a special treat, side two of this cassette contains the first ever 84 WHAS production of A Christmas Carol for your holiday listening enjoyment. From everyone at 84 WHAS, Merry Christmas.